Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Matthew 14, 13 to 21. I thought since we're going to have some food afterwards, maybe we'll go to a passage of Scripture that talks about food, but that's not really where we're going to go. But we're going to read that story about the feeding of 5,000. And we don't have 5,000 here, and we do have lots of dogs that we ordered, so we should be good. And if not, we'll just pray multiplication like it did in the story that we're going to read. So Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, this morning I'm not really going to talk about food, but I am going to talk about Jesus. And I want to talk about the more of Jesus. And, you know, even as you read these scriptures, even though it's a story about food, it reminds us that Jesus always has more. He does more than what we think. He offers us more than our salvation. He offers us more than forgiveness, even though those are the ultimate blessings of knowing him. But Jesus has much to offer us. And when we open up our hearts to Jesus and choose to believe and serve him, the benefits are literally out of this world. We have the promise of eternity in heaven, our beautiful hope. We have peace with God. We have fellowship with God. We have the assurance of God and knowing that he is with us, and a whole lot more. Jesus is the answer that our world needs. He is the hope of the nations, and he offers us so much more than just our salvation, although that is huge, and that's the most important thing. But our Jesus wants to offer us more. And he wants to be part of our life every day and show us the more that he can bring into our lives each day. You know, our relationship with Jesus is meant to get better and better and better, more and more intimate, where Jesus reveals himself to us in more and more ways. There's always more with Jesus. Now, over these last few years, we've been encouraging you, as the people of God, keep the focus on Jesus. That is so needed in our world today. And there's so many voices out there, even in Christian circles, that are causing people to get their focus off Jesus. And when really it's a time where eyes really need to be looking up to him and putting aside, you know, all the things that, you know, we sometimes get there, our opinions, our wants, our goals, and to put Jesus first in our lives, to get to that place where we have the mind and the attitude of Christ. You know, as we look at our lives, life sometimes likes to trip us up. Sometimes it causes compromises. Sometimes life can cause struggle. Sometimes it can cause temptation. And often these things can lead to us lessening our commitment to Christ. And in the days that we're living in, we really need to be careful and avoid areas where anyone's encouraging us to have a lesser relationship with our Lord and Savior. The book of Hebrews puts it this way: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects the faith. You know, we're looking at these hockey games of late and see who's going to be the champion. Well, Jesus is already telling you, I'm already the champion. I am the Lord of lords. I am the King of kings. And he is already our champion. And we need to keep our eyes and our focus on him. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And the true way to enjoy life is to continue to seek him. Remember, Jesus has come to give life, not to take it away, but to give life. And so if we really want to enjoy life, let us stay close to Jesus, because he's everything that we need. And Jesus has much to say to us, and he wants to help us, and he wants to guide us in every area of life. And no area is too big or no area is too small where he wants to come alongside us and help us. He's more than your Savior. He wants to be your best friend, and he wants to help you every day of your life. And so as we look at this story, the feeding of 5,000, you know, there are some truths here that I found as I was reading this that really talk about the more of Jesus, the more that Jesus wants to bring in our lives, the more that Jesus wants to reveal to us in our lives. Because, you know, not only does he desire to bring good things in our lives, but he's more than able, as the Bible says, to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even think. Our God is able to bring into our lives so much more. And that's what God always has. He has more for you. There's more. I don't care if you've been a Christian all your life. There is more. There is more. Keep looking for the more. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Maybe kind of take a different slant to this story of the feeding of 5,000. And just to see where Jesus is showing us, there's more. There's more to having Jesus in your life. Now, the first thing I see in this story where Jesus offers us more is in the area of comfort. See, Jesus knows what it is to grieve. Jesus knows what it is to lose a loved one. And, you know, as we read the couple of verses before what we just read, you'll find the story where John the Baptist is beheaded and that his disciples come to Jesus and they tell him that John is dead. And we see that in the verses 10 to 13, just the verses just before the ones we read. It says, so John was beheaded in the prison and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. And as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. So when we look at this story, the feeding of the 5,000, it actually comes out of a story where Jesus wanted to be alone. He wanted to be by himself. He wanted to grieve by himself. And much like ourselves, when we lose a loved one, there's a lot of times we just kind of want to be by ourselves. You know, people come around us and they support us, they encourage us, and those things are good and those things are needed. But I think everybody kind of needs that moment where you just need to get by yourself, be alone, and just handle that grief that is happening to you. And so it was no different for Jesus. John the Baptist was a big blow to Jesus because John was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one that was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And his message was to repent of our sins and turn to God. So John was out there preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus so more and more people could be receptive to Jesus. So losing John in the sense of the ministry was certainly very disheartening. But you need to also realize that John was a close cousin as well. And just having that fact alone that, you know, here's one of your best cousins that you know and had fellowship with, that your family was very close with, that suddenly passes. And you'll remember the story of Jesus' mother, Mary, when she received the news from the archangel that she would be given birth to the Messiah. After having that news, she goes and visits Elizabeth, who also had an angelic visitation, and she was pregnant with John. And that story comes out in Luke chapter 1, 39 and 40. One of the verses we'll just read of that. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. That's John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So while Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, she was a very elderly woman at this time. And obviously she would need help with the whole pregnancy thing. And Mary became that individual, the mother of Jesus, to help her. And so obviously these families were very close and probably grew up playing together. Probably John the Baptist and Jesus probably played together. So there was a very close bond between these two families. And so as Jesus hears the news of John's death, Jesus wanted to take some time to grieve. He just wanted to be alone. He knew what was coming, even for himself. And so he just wanted to get away from everybody and just have that time to be alone and have some time to grieve. And so the Bible says that Jesus went to an isolated place. And, we ourselves, we often like to do that very same thing. But here we see Jesus. He's doing that. He's looking to be by himself. And yet we're going to see that he's going to be with probably a crowd of 20,000 people, because it says there are 5,000 men plus children and women. So probably in that range of 20,000 people. So, just think of that. We've all probably gone through grief in our lives. If you went to be alone and then suddenly there's a crowd of 20,000 people that are with you. And we see that Jesus is affected by grief. We see that at other times as he comes around people that have been dealing with grief, we see his sympathy, we see his compassion. We even see Jesus weeping, like in the case when he lost his close friend Lazarus. And that response is seen in the shortest text of the Bible, John 11:35, that Jesus wept. And so when we lose a loved one or when we're grieving, we need to realize that we have a friend in Jesus who understands our grief. He understands our loss. He understands our sorrow. He's able to help us, which is exactly, what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2:18. Since Jesus himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we're being tested. And so when we go through things that are difficult, that are hard, Jesus is saying, I'm here. I can be your comforter. I can help you through this time in your life. And if you've recently gone through a loss of a loved one, as I said, we've been doing a number of funerals in these last few weeks that have been happening. A lot of people out there are grieving. Well, Jesus is saying, I am here to bring you comfort. He understands, he knows what it is to grieve. And, if we look at tradition, Jesus probably lost his father Joseph at a very early age as well, because we don't hear of Joseph really anymore in the story. And so probably lost Joseph at an early age as well. So Jesus understands what it is to experience loss. And that's kind of a more of God, a more of Jesus, that even though he gives us salvation, he saves us from our sins, he's our Savior, but he's more than that. He's also our comforter. He understands about loss. He understands when people go through those times of grief. And then we see in this story that Jesus went through that. He wanted to be alone, but yet he was able to minister to a huge number of people, which will bring us in the second point, that Jesus is compassionate. If we want to experience the more of Jesus, you're going to find that Jesus is compassionate. And that's what this story as well reveals. It says in Matthew 14:13-14, as soon as Jesus heard the news, well, he left in that boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds, they heard where he was headed, and they followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. Now, for those who have gone through grief, that's not something that's usually right there. If you all of a sudden are faced with a huge group of people, that you would have compassion on them. But that's exactly what Jesus has. Even though he was struggling with his own grief, even though he was wanting to be alone, that when he saw the people, he had compassion on them. That's our Jesus. Our Jesus is compassionate. And there are times, you know, with Jesus when, you know, Jesus is out there doing ministry. There's times where Jesus said, you know, I want to go away for a while. I want to be and go and pray, or he's wanting to go somewhere else. And there was always crowds that would come his way. And often, you know, in the crowds, if we're honest, a lot of that crowd was only thinking about themselves. They weren't thinking about Jesus. They were just thinking what Jesus could provide for them. And for some of them, it was just simply food. That stick around Jesus, you get fed. And so, you know, there's all those kinds of things that maybe are inappropriate that people would come to Jesus, and yet Jesus still was compassionate. And, you know, as you look at other occasions, Jesus was tired, Jesus was weary, and yet people just continued to keep reaching out to him. And when they did, Jesus had compassion despite how he may have felt. And that's our Jesus. Our Jesus is filled with mercy and love, kindness and compassion. And over again throughout Scripture, we see Jesus responding with compassion, with a sympathy, with the urge to help. And that's what Jesus does. You know, and as you read the next chapter in the book of Matthew, you see once again that Jesus, another occasion, is now feeding 4,000 people plus children and women. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. I'm compassionate about these people because they've been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they will faint along the way. Jesus feels for us, even when we're hungry, even when maybe we're not at that place that we're able to put food on our tables. Jesus is compassionate, and he feels for us, and he wants to help us. And all through Scripture, we do see that Jesus is always compassionate, even though he was tired or weary or sometimes interrupted by religious teachers that kind of ticked him off at times. And yet with the people, he was always compassionate to them. Matthew 9:36 talks a little bit more about that. It says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And it shows that Jesus has time for us. Even when we may, I don't want to be bothering the Lord. I'm sure there's far more important things out there for the Lord to be dealing with and more people out there the Lord should be helping. Why would he bother with me? But yet as we cry out to him, the Lord has time for us and he is compassionate for us. That's a beautiful thing. That's who our Jesus is. He's compassionate. He's always compassionate. And over again, we see that Jesus is compassionate. And he really is. He's the exact representation of his Father in heaven. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. And that's who our Jesus is. He's willing to welcome us. Well, he's willing to hear our cries for help. And, you know, we need to realize that today, that no matter what is going on in our lives, Jesus is concerned about that. He has time for you. He has time to listen to you. He has time to hear what you have to say. He has time to minister to you and touch you, because he will deal with you with compassion. And the Lord wants us all to know that he is rich with compassion. He desires to touch each one of us even more with compassion. And so if there's an area in your life today where maybe you're feeling, man, I need compassion. I need some sympathy from God to help me at this moment. Well, that's part of the more of Jesus. He is compassionate. He will take that time to listen to your cry. He will take that time to minister to you, because your Jesus is compassionate. And then a third truth that I see from this story of feeding the 5,000 that shows the more of Jesus is the fact that Jesus is our healer. Jesus heals. Matthew 14:14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Our Jesus is a healer. He is a great physician. Sometimes Jesus healed people because they had great faith. Sometimes Jesus healed people because they show great persistence. And other times, Jesus simply healed people because he was compassionate. But in healing people, he showed that he has the power over sickness and disease. And so when we look to our Jesus, we need to recognize that our Jesus has power over sickness and disease, and he is our healer. The very next chapter kind of gives details of some of those healings that were taking place. And the next story of the feeding of 4,000, we see in Matthew 15:30-31, it says, a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. And they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. And the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. And again, as you keep reading the story of Jesus and who he is, we see in chapter 9, it tells us this, Matthew 9:35. Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. I like that verse. Jesus can heal every kind of illness and disease. And so maybe you're here today and you're struck with an illness. You're struck with a disease. Maybe you're seeing the doctors and they can't figure out what's going on in your life at all. They can't figure out what's wrong with you. Well, Jesus can. And as we look to our Jesus, he is a healer. Sometimes we miss that. We don't look to Jesus to heal us. Well, we need to, because Jesus is our healer. Jesus desiring to see people experience the more, even include healing and the atonement when he died upon the cross for us. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. But it goes on to say that by his wounds, you're healed. So there, even as he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Even in regards to our sicknesses, our diseases, our illnesses, because he's a healer. And he can heal every illness and every disease. And so we need to be looking for the more of Jesus, because Jesus is our healer. And as a church, we've been really praying into that. I know as we gather here on Wednesday nights, we really pray into that as well, because we really do believe there's going to be an accelerated time of healing, and we need that. There's a lot of our younger generation are not serving God. I believe they need to see the action. They need to see miracles. They need to see signs and wonders. And a lot of other Christians that have fallen away from the Lord, I think they would come back so quickly if they just saw another miracle take place, a healing take place. And that's who our Jesus is. He's a healer. He has more for you to experience. And one of those areas is that he can heal your diseases. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. Then lastly, from this passage of feeding of the 5,000, we see the more of Jesus as he is a provider. He provided the food that was necessary even when there wasn't enough food or there wasn't enough money to meet the need. But again, that's what our Jesus does. He provides. That part of the story is in Matthew 14, 18 to 21. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. And they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to women and children. So to say, probably a good crowd of at least 20,000 people. That's quite the crowd when you're looking to be alone, but yet our God is compassionate. Our God is a God of comfort. Our God is a healer, but he's also a God who provides. And as we look at that story, the next page over, as you're reading your Bibles to Matthew 15, Jesus does it again. Just in case people don't really believe or get the significance that he is a provider, they're going to hear that message again. And so Matthew 15, 36, 38 says, then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples, distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted. And after the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There was 4,000 men who were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. Here, Jesus does it again. He provides. When there was no way to feed that amount of people, it wasn't a problem for Jesus. He's our provider. And he is our provider, friend. He can make our resources expand to meet the demand. And even when we're convinced that we don't have enough, because sometimes in life that kind of happens, we just don't have enough, and maybe you find yourself in an impossible financial situation, you need to realize, know that your God can supply all your needs. The Bible tells us so, right? He's a God of multiplication. So he can take what little we have, multiply it into something big. He can take that little that you have and multiply it that it can cover more expenses than what you thought could ever be covered. Now, for people who know what tithing is and people that have stepped out in that area, they will testify that, you know what, I can't believe it. I started tithing and something amazing happened. I gave more money out, but you know, somehow at the end of the month, I still had enough to pay all my bills. Because why? Because Jesus is our provider. Jesus is a multiplier. He's a God of multiplication. He can take what little we have. The Bible even says, why don't you test me in this? Test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. You know, the more of Jesus sees provision in unusual ways. From what we do have, you know, to stretch those resources to meet the need. From when there's no money to pay the bills to surprisingly having enough at the end of the month to pay that bill. Or suddenly money comes from an unusual source and that you're able to pay that bill. There's numbers of you have testified of that. From having no money to put food on your table to having food delivered to your home or dropped by your home to be even on the steps to have all that we need and even more because the Lord desires to bless us. Our Jesus provides even to the smallest things like food on your table. Notice that as you think about that, as even in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us the food that we need, God. So he wants to help supply your need. And as you read further in chapter 6, you will see that it's talking about prayer and it concludes with this advice, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we're all worried about will be added unto you. And remember, our God's a God of multiplication, so he'll multiply. God can give you everything you need. He can add up all these things unto you, provide for you. And so, friend, you don't want to miss that from God. He's a God who supplies all our needs. Trust him. Look to him. He is a Lord that provides. He can multiply your monies. He can multiply your resources. He can take you from the land of not enough, even the land of just enough, to the land of more than enough. Those that remember Clive Pick and those teachings, maybe remember those little sayings there. And that's what we pray. God, bring us that place where there's more than enough. He is a multiplier, my friends. The more of Jesus is you experience him as a provider. He still does miracles. That's who he is. He provides. So this morning, as we look at this story of food, you probably maybe didn't think of it maybe in this sense, but I hope you do today, that as you look at this story, that you see the more of Jesus, that Jesus has more to offer to you than just your salvation. There's more, friends, for you to experience every day of your life. And I hope that you will do that. Serving Jesus is an awesome experience that gets better and better and better the more we press in and get to know him. As you press in, you're going to find that he's more than a savior. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your compassionate friend. He's going to be your healer. He's going to be your provider. And so much more. There's no limits to what our Jesus can do. And my prayer for you is that you would grow and experience the more of Jesus in your life. Because there's so much more in serving Jesus. He has so much more that he wants to show you. I think that was your second song, Cynthia. And maybe if you could comment, maybe just sing that song again that talks about Jesus. But friends, don't settle for less. Because Jesus has more for you. I close with this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And friends, he's got more for you. There's more for you to experience in Jesus. There's more. There's more. More than you can imagine, more than you can think. Press into the more. Jesus has more for you. Start proclaiming his name. Like that song goes. Proclaim his name, Jesus. Because he is the answer. He does have the more for you. And this is what we want as a church. And this is what we're praying for. We're praying, Lord, we want more. We want more. Thank you for what you've done. We're grateful for what you've done. But we desire the more of Jesus. We want to see Jesus move in unusual and powerful ways. Yes, most importantly, we want to see people come to the faith in Jesus Christ. But we also want people to experience Christ in their lives every day. To know that Jesus, he is a comforter. To know that Jesus is your compassionate friend. To know that Jesus is your supplier. And he will meet every need. That's who he is. That's who he is. And so as we close here, and I just want you to think today of what's going on in your life. What do you need Jesus to do for you today? Because Jesus is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or even think. Yes, he offers you salvation, but he's interested in your everyday life. What things are going on in your life today that you need Jesus to come and intervene? Because that's who he is. He'll be compassionate towards you. Aren't you glad that he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve? No, he'll have compassion on you. He's going to touch you. Oh, well, I messed up. I deserve what I'm getting right now. Don't go that way. Look to him. Jesus, my compassionate Lord. He loves me. He cares about me. He's going to help me. He's going to pour out that love and that mercy on me today. Because that's who he is. That's who he is. He's that Jesus. Maybe you need a healing today. Maybe, you've gone to the doctors, that's good. God gave us doctors, we should go to them. But maybe there's something going on in your life that nothing seems to be helping you. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's a healer. He's a healer. Finances. Sometimes we don't like to talk to God about finances. He's a great person to talk about finances. Because he says, I love to give good gifts unto my children. He is a good, good father. Maybe you have a financial need. Pretty amazing how the Lord works sometimes and turns a need to all of a sudden a provision that is provided for. That's who he is. That's who he is. So we're going to stand and just close with this song, and let that be the altar call to you today. That even as we are, I know we're going to going off to eat here, and that's it's all ready, so I'm not going to prolong it. As we sing that song, just give it to Jesus today. He's more than enough. He is more than enough to take care of the need that you have today. And as you would look to him, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, imagine, think. He's able to help you today. Jesus is in the business of showing compassion.